Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
There's information that I can't quite divulge yet about the situation with Priya.
Fair enough. Perfect.
But hopefully the truth about the situation will come out very, very soon. Ultimately, for me, I think she was grasping at excuses to end.
This is On the Fence with Monica Oksani.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Fence with Monica Xamit, your host. Today's episode is with my friend, Brett Staniland, who is on Love Island Season 7.
Susan. Welcome to her show, Brett. We just literally missed the entire intro because we started talking and I forgot. So my friend, Brett, welcome from Love Island.
Hi again, Monica. It's so nice to be here.
God, we just had such a great intro and I, God damn, this is what happens when I podcast with my friends. Anyways, when I posted about you on my Instagram, everybody blew me up wanting to hear what you have to say about Love Island. So yeah, let's summarize what we just talked about.
You know, I wasn't even aware of the like US and Australian audience watching the show. I thought it was just very UK dominated. So I was surprised as well when like my American friends was reaching out like, oh my God, we're just getting the episodes now. I'd already been like, their show had already ended, but they're getting them a bit now as well. So my friends, so it's cool. It's reached across the pond, I guess.
So it's completely done for you guys, or it's been done, like it aired, yeah, and stuff?
The show's completely finished now.
Because yeah. For us, I think a week ago, I kind of stopped watching when you weren't on. I was watching earlier and then yeah. I traveled and then I saw you posted that you were on. I was like, oh, hell yeah, I need to watch. And I skipped through some episodes to get to your stuff. And then yeah. When you left, I watched like one more episode. And I was like, I don't care anymore. I'm not invested.
Okay.
But I think somebody told me a week ago was like the last episode.
It finished like a couple of weeks ago now. And this weekend, we just filmed the reunion episode on Sunday. That was live on Sunday. So now it's done. It's completely finished.
Got it. So I think we were just behind on all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, again, I was upset for you when you left and you got removed. So I could not pay attention. Yeah, it's because obviously Love Island UK was out before the USA one. So I think everybody was just so excited about Love Island period being back that they started watching the UK one. And I mean, like, it's different, obviously, like different cultures, we know because we've traveled, but like the UK one's completely different from the American one and completely different from the Australian one. So it's so interesting to watch like the different cultures interact with each other. Like, obviously, like when I travel, like I have a different interaction with you than you do with British people, because obviously you have a different culture with them. So for me, it's more entertaining to watch like UK one.
Really? I think some of my friends have told me about the Australian one and that sounds really entertaining. I think we have a very typically British interaction on the show and how we like pull people for a chat and all that stuff. But I think, I need to watch the Australian one for sure and the American one.
Same, that's my plan. I'm watching the September 11th documentary, which is, that one's wild. And then I'm starting the UK, Love Island, Australia. So I'm excited. Okay. Anyway, so we talked about this all in my intro that I did not record. Still upset about this. Of how we met. We met on an Instagram group for content creators to help support each other. And most people really didn't stick around, but we became friends. We hung out in Madrid when I was there for, I was there for like 2-3 days, but I was also just in Spain, period. And we realized we're the same people as we are on social media, because most people aren't. A lot of people have a lot of followers and are empty. Not all, but there's a good chunk of them.
There's a good chunk, yeah.
Yeah, and there's just, they think that their follower count makes them, like, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah, and like king, queen of the world. They're like, oh, you have only 100K? Sorry, I'm at 500,000. I'm better than you. All right, calm down, relax. And then Brett complimented my TikTok. And we talked about TikTok and I think we're caught up. I think we're all at everything we need.
That was it. Yeah. We met through Instagram. We became in real life friends and we stayed friends since.
Yeah. Cool.
What a great story.
Perfect. Summarized. You guys missed, you know, the banter, but we'll have plenty.
There's loads in the tank.
All right. So let's start off. How did you end up getting casted for Love Island?
So I think me and a couple of the others who did the show, we got approached. So you can apply. Anyone can apply. There was millions of applicants, I've been told. But someone from the production team at ITV reached out to me, sent me a DM like, we'd love to consider you for the show. Are you single? And they'd done it a couple of times before and I'd said no in the past. But now I felt it was just the right time. So I agreed, had like several Zoom meetings with the production, and then went down to London to meet with them on a few occasions. The casting for this series has taken 2 years in total. So some of the people were cast ages ago for a series that didn't quite happen because of, you know, the vid and all that.
Right.
And so they kept them in mind and the whole thing took 2 years. They reached out to me, I think, in February this year. So it's been like casting process the whole year. And then, yeah, eventually they're like, yeah, we want you for the show. We want you to be a bombshell, which means you go in after the original starts. But then there's still loads of uncertainty about when you're going to go in and all of that stuff. But yeah.
Right. Oh, that's cool. Okay. So what made now different than before? So why did you decide to do it this time and not before?
Before, I think I was very immersed in academia, my studies, you know, I've been at uni a long time. Work was really crazy and it wasn't something I was really putting energy into, like my love life. It was just, I was just kind of, you know what, just whatever. It's in the background. If it happens, it happens. If not, that's cool. Then we had lockdown for a long time and it was difficult to meet people. And then obviously I got a little bit older too. So I was like, all my friends are in relationships. I don't feel left out, but I feel like it'd be nice to have that too. So I'm a much more open-minded person now. So I just thought, yeah, why not go live on an island with loads of other single people for a few weeks and see what happens.
Right. Sitting in the sun. Why not?
Yeah.
Would you ever go on another reality TV show again?
Oh, I think, well, I've got some filming in the pipeline, but I probably would, but I'm a lot less naive than I was. Like watching a few episodes back made me realize, I mean, I knew they were in control of the narrative, but to see how they have your character and they can like pigeonhole you just with like certain conversations, it's very eye-opening to see how I came across. And I've got friends like, you're not like this in like real person all the time. So it was interesting. I would do some reality TV, but I'd be much more selective, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. So you find out you're going, how do you actually end up preparing for the show? Like, did you do anything special and life-changing?
Well, you have to prepare. Basically, they make you block out the best part of 3 months and say you could, if you're there really early and you last the whole time, you could be away for a long, long, long stint. So I was preparing all my work stuff to like tick over in the background, telling like all my modeling agents and my clients that I'm going to be away. But I had to also sort out a wardrobe to take because I wasn't going to accept any of the clothes that the show provided to. And then it's just like getting okay in your own headspace because there's so much uncertainty. So they were like, right, we're going to fly you to Mallorca. We'll let you know when. And I'm just like, okay. And then I'm just sat by the phone for 4 weeks.
Right.
I was thinking, well, I'm going to go in now. But then if I go in now, I've got to do 2 weeks quarantine. Then I go in, I'm like, oh, that's halfway through the show. I'm going to miss half the show. So yeah, eventually you get the call that you're going to Mallorca and you have to do 2 weeks in quarantine there at least. So even whilst I was in Mallorca, I was still like, when am I going to go in? Is it going to be as soon as the 2 weeks is up? Is it going to be 3 weeks, whatever? And yeah, you just sat around. So it's really hard to prepare. It is so hard because you just literally don't know and no one else has the answers. So yeah, you have to kind of be at peace with being in the unknown.
Yeah. Okay. So before I move on, I have a few things on that. So it's interesting about the whole clothing. You mentioned that they send you clothes, which is very different from my understanding of reality TV shows in America, that we get our own clothes, unless you are, if I understand correctly, if you're the lead of Bachelor Bachelorette, I'm pretty sure they have stylists, but otherwise, yeah, like you bring your own clothes. So that's very different from our experience here in America. So that's, yeah, I feel like that's cool, you know, because otherwise it costs you money to be buying clothes that you might not be wearing.
That's true. So the whole thing, like basically one of the biggest partners for Love Island is, in the past it's been like Boohoo, the clothing brand. This year it was I Saw It First. And they essentially like provide wardrobe for the islanders whilst they're there. So if you want to, you can just say, yeah, please can I have some shirts, some jeans, some shorts, and they literally will send you anything. And then even whilst you're in holding, before you actually go on the show, they're like, here's X amount of money to go and spend online. Just let us know and we'll deliver it to you. So there's like an abundance of clothes at your expose. But I wasn't going to accept any of those clothes because it's not really on brand for me.
Right.
So I was preparing my wardrobe for the next few weeks.
So wait, so in those scenes when they're dragging out suitcases, do they only have like socks and underwear in those suitcases in that case?
Everyone thinks they're empty. They're actually not empty. They are full.
Right, but you're saying they get sent clothes, so it can't be like, you know, full of stuff.
Honestly, when I flew home with three other islanders and there was 17 suitcases.
Well, they were probably bringing those clothes back with them.
So yeah. So right. There's... You go, okay. You take the stuff that you go with, and then you get given one of the Love Island suitcases too whilst you're there. And they just fill those to the brim as well. So yeah,
everyone
with a lot of clothes.
Okay. So that makes sense. Okay, cool. So that answers that question. Another thing I was going to say, the uncertainty and unknown part, I mean, at least in America, I don't know how it is different cultures, different approaches. And I did work, my commercial, I feel like we've talked about this, was from a British company, Number 7. We also have a lot of unknowns and uncertainty, and like, you know, you're booked for a project, but you don't know when it's being filmed, you don't know when you're being flown out. Like, you get flown out, I remember for my commercial, flying to Florence because we filmed in the marble quarry in Carrera. They booked my flight a week before, and I remember freaking out because I had world championships right afterwards. So I was flying straight from there to world championships. I'm like, I'm preparing for a competition, so I really need you guys to get your shit together. But like, they didn't have dates. Like, for the longest time, they didn't know where it's being filmed. Like, they're like, oh, could be Italy, could be Spain, could be England. We don't really know. I'm like, don't you need a location?
Yeah, honestly, I think you and I live quite last minute lives. So I wasn't okay with it, but I was, you know, I've experienced it before. Just like living, right? You've got to be ready to be on the go. Like, I could get a call and it's like 2 days, you're gone. So it's nerve-wracking.
It really is, but you're just like, once you kind of know this, I mean, I don't like it, but I know that's what it's like. So I'm kind of like,
yeah.
I'll find out. My mom like is always the one that freaks out. And she's like, well, when are you flying? I'm like, I don't know. And she's like, didn't they give you dates for like next week? And I was like, yeah.
But yeah,
it doesn't mean anything.
My parents are this exact same. I think they live extremely, I love structure too, but they live extremely structured lives. So my mom would be like, oh, what are you doing in like 3 Thursdays time? Do you want to have lunch? And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing in 3 days time. So right. Like, I have no idea. I might be in the country, I might not. So right. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, I mean, as an athlete, like I do have a lot of structure, and because I mean, that makes sense. And I know what my more or less what my week looks like. There's things that could change here and there, of course,
yeah.
But I have like more or less things that are always the same and everything else gets added on. So for me, quarantine was really rough, but I guess good at the same time, because I've learned to live or to be more okay with unknowns and uncertainty. Because I mean, at that time, I didn't know anything, what next year looked like, what a few months looks like. So that was really rough, but we got through it. And we're a little bit better with uncertainty and unknowns, which is, I feel like has set me up for things that are coming. Anyways, okay. So all right. So I like the term bombshell that they gave you.
I got like abused for that as well online. They're like, what kind of bombshell is this? He's not even good looking. They were throwing the word bombshell around. Like, yeah, it's not bombshell. Yeah, that's what they call us anyway.
That's funny. I guess I didn't catch that being said anywhere. So I love that. And I'm going to definitely tease you for that from now on. I'm going to change you as bombshell instead of Brett, or bombshell Brett. Yeah, there you go. I got it. Changing you as soon as we hang up. How did it feel walking in as a bombshell when everybody else was already like established couples and friends? Did you end up feeling super uncomfortable, or were they all just very welcoming?
You know, I went in at quite a tricky stage. There was couples that had been together for like 6-7 weeks. And so they were super tight. And I've got to go in, right, and talk to all the girls, see where their heads are all at, and see if I could maybe split someone up, or, you know, just see what happens. Luckily, everyone was super nice when I got there. I was like lying on a sun lounger whilst they were all out doing the challenge, and they came to find me at the villa. But yeah, they were all really nice. The thing, the difficult thing was Priya was basically the only girl I could actually go for.
Right.
After speaking, I mean, she was probably the one I would have gone for anyway, but you know, you have to assess your options. And so when I was speaking to like Millie and Mary and Kaz, I'm like, these are in such good, solid relationships now that there's just no one's going to turn their heads. The thing that was difficult was integrating within the boys. Mm-hmm. Because after 2 days of me being there and I'd survived a recoupling, there was like a big drama with the boys, with Jake, who was like one of the original guys. And so he needed the boys to rally around him and be a support group. But I wasn't integrated enough to be there as one of his close guys. So I kind of got cast aside. And the same with Priya with the girls. So we were just like forced to spend a lot of time together in a really short space of time. So it was really challenging. But obviously, eventually, after 4, 5, 6 days, the guys are great. And even now, like, I'm really, really well with loads of them. But yeah, it was tricky. Going in when I went in was really, really tricky.
Yeah, but I kind of like the concept of this. And I like the way that it was done here. I actually haven't ever watched a Love Island previously. This was my first one watching. So
yeah.
I feel like I have like the little like naive perspective of it all. Mm-hmm. But I think it's like super like real life. Like, you know what I mean? Like you're an established couple with somebody, but somebody appears in your life, whether it's in work, at the gym, I don't know, on the tube or the subway, as we call it in America. And, you know, they're like, wow, this person's interesting. They can approach you. And it's kind of, yeah. you know, it tests your relationship to see how strong yeah. you are and whatever. Cause I don't know, personally for me, when I'm in a relationship, I'm not even really attracted to other guys. Like he'll like an attractive man will walk by. I'm like, oh, he's nice. Like, that's nice. Yeah, but true. Like when I'm single, I'm like, damn, like you come approach me. I'd hit that. You know, it's
you're like damn, I want to make a TikTok about him.
Yeah. Like, oh man. I love that we can joke about TikTok. Yeah, basically do it for the content. So I think it's really cool because it seems okay, obviously it's not real life because you guys are stuck in a villa in Mallorca with no problems and real life, but that's the most real life thing.
Yeah, it has that real life concept. I think it's like real life but super intense version of that, because when things happen, you have such a short period of time to deal with them. And even when like there's conflict or, you know, we'll have an argument and you know what, such and such is giving me attention now, so I'm going to talk to them and we have an argument or something. You're around each other 24/7 and there's only you there. So if you have a problem, you just have to face it head on within the next hour or
right,
two.
Right, right.
That's what you get.
Still stuck with everybody.
Exactly. So if your head's being turned, you're like, you give it a day, maybe two, and like, yeah, you know, I think I'm really feeling it with this other person. Then you'll get a text and say, like, right, there's a recoupling. And now you're like, shit, I actually have to make a decision about right someone now. I've known 4 weeks or someone I've known 3 days, and it's like it has the real life test but just really intensified.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think that's what everybody says about reality shows, that like everything happens but it's like so much more intense because again, I mean, you don't have like outside factors and distractions and like, hold on, I can't do this right now, I have a job. It's like I have nothing to do but handle this conflict right now. So that's really interesting. Is there anything that wasn't aired that you think should have in regards to you?
Oh, you know, when I came out and everyone was like, how was your experience? And I was like, it was a roller coaster. And I was like, what do you mean you're boring? Like, no, there's so much you didn't see. Literally the first 36 hours was absolutely crazy. I arrived, sat down a few girls, had a chat, went on a date within 5 hours, came home, had an argument, not an argument, but I had some conflict with one of the boys who was like one of the big main boys. So I had to have this thing with him. Then I had to sit down all the boys and talk to them about how I'd gone around speaking to the girls. And that was all within 6, 7 hours. Went to bed, woke up, there's a recoupling. So I'd spend all the day trying to date Priya. Matt was coming in interrupting like 3 or 4 dates.
Yeah, your yoga date.
Literally, yeah, yoga date. I also did a cocktail making date for us where I got like all the ingredients. The production were great with me. I was like, I want to arrange this. And they sorted it all out. So I got like all the ingredients to make like a mojito, and me and Priya made drinks. Then we went over and had a little sit down and we had a good conversation. And then there was a recoupling. That's 36 hours.
Right.
Like there's loads of situations where the girls would break, arguing, people would be crying and all of this stuff that just didn't air at all.
Yeah.
So yeah, everyone's like, oh, what do you mean? You're there for a week and nothing happened. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean,
then I had to lap dance on loads of strangers too.
Yeah. But I mean, that's like the thing with like, they do so much filming, especially like on a show like that, where it's like they're filming day and night, as we saw with the graduation and all that stuff. So funny. I love that. That's what they called it. That was the funniest thing ever. Had their whole graduation ceremony. I love those girls. And I told you this, I feel like I would be such good friends with all of them. They seem so fun. But yeah, so like, it makes sense that like a lot of things obviously won't be aired, and things that, you know, probably really shouldn't be aired get aired because some people in production find them interesting.
But yeah, there's maybe a narrative or something that they know the public's reacting to. They're like, right, we're going to follow this storyline predominantly for the next 2 episodes. So yeah, you just have to accept that they have the control.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what they always say, like only be comfortable saying with what you want aired, because they can't really do much with things that you aren't saying. So
exactly. But then, I was quite measured with the words that I chose to use whilst I was there. But then you get the old argument with, well, are you being yourself? Are you being genuine? I'm like, I'm being myself, probably just a rounded version of myself. Because you have to take a couple of corners, like, in your edge off sometimes, just so you don't come across as, like, abrasive or obnoxious or whatever, if you have an argument. So I was me, but I was a very measured me, you know?
Yeah, but I think you kind of have to. I mean, you know, props to anybody that's, like, down to be themselves or whatever. But, I mean, you and I kind of, you know, have our things that we are. And I don't know, like for me, like if I were to be on a reality show, I represent a whole lot more than just, you know, a human being. I represent the United States. I represent the Olympic Committee. I represent all fencers. I represent Penn State. Like, I feel like I would be like crucified by everybody. So I know, like, I would have to think about the things that I'm saying a lot more. And it definitely does come across as more calculated than somebody else. But, you know, we're in a different position. Yeah. So What can you really do?
I represent the academics, I represent my university, my institution, and I represent the clients that I've worked with as well in the past, because people search you and they're like, oh, we work with this brand and that brand, and they're the ones that are watching too. I want to come out of this and still be able to work with those. So yeah, definitely the same for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we have to get into a juicier question because... because this is all I heard about from everybody. Everybody was like, oh my God, we need the tea from Brett. He needs to tell us everything. I know there's things you probably can't answer and whatever, we get it. But so we wanted to talk about the whole Priya thing. I was upset. Again, I know there's things that weren't necessarily aired, you know, little some parts, but I was definitely upset that you were the last one to find out about the fact that you're quote unquote boring. I don't know. I hung out with you. We had laughs and I didn't think you were boring. If I thought you were boring, I would not still be friends with you, obviously. So for anybody wondering, I don't think Brett's boring, but you know, whatever. So yeah. So what can you tell us about that whole situation? Well, we kind of just talked on, you know, more calculated, whatever.
There's information that I can't quite divulge yet about the situation with Priya.
Fair enough. Perfect.
But hopefully the truth about the situation will come out very, very soon. Ultimately, for me, I think she was grasping at excuses to end what we had going. And I don't think it was as genuine as...
I agree with that. And that's what I said. I had a whole conversation with my friend about it. I mean, I'm not trash talking her. I'm sure she's sweet. I don't know her. All I have is what I see on reality TV. I don't know her personally. So all I can go off of is what they've given me. But I just want her to know I'm not attacking her if she is listening. But I thought it was like funny when she's like, oh, but like, he doesn't like cheese. So like, you know, how am I going to have a cheese board? And I was like, you eat the whole cheese board. He can cut it up for you if you're like, Brett, babe, like, I'm hungry, I'm starving, like, I'm having a bad day. I'm sure he'd pour you a glass of wine and cut up some cheese and make you a beautiful cheese board. And then you don't have to share that last piece of cheese that's your favorite cheese. You don't have to give it to him. You get to eat it. Like,
the weirdest thing about that bit is that this cheese conversation, I don't recall. And the fact that she brought up Brie, like, oh yeah, he said Brie. I'm like, I definitely wouldn't say that because I hate it. That's one cheese I really don't like. So I don't know where she made it all up from.
That's like the vanilla cheese, the basic cheese.
The weirdest bit, again, was we were sat eating a plate full of mozzarella. Before that, we'd had like pasta and cheese. It was just weird to me. So for me, it was like grasping at just any excuse that she could think of. I know why she was trying to grasp at an excuse. So hopefully other people will do soon too. But again, that conversation was spun in a way to make it look like I wasn't really the conversationist and she was. But really in those conversations where she was like, it's boring, whatever. We were talking about going axe throwing, bowling. We talked about the cinema and I bantered her for liking just salted popcorn. All this stuff. There was loads of little dialogues that went on, but they cropped it where I was like, yeah, coffee. And then I didn't say anything else. And then she was like, yeah, Brett's boring. So it looked like I was.
Right.
But there's so much of the conversation that they miss. For me, my annoyance with Priya, my disappointment with her was how she handled it. She said, I didn't know this at the time until we watched it back, but saying all that stuff to the girls at dinner, then saying it to all the girls around the fire pit, then saying it to the diary room, like literally saying it down a camera. I didn't realize how like reinforced it was for her and the mean things that she said. The main thing for me was that she used terms that I'd opened up to her about that other people had called me in the past that I was trying to get away from because it had hurt me in the past. Like being called a robot with my emotions is something I've really tried to work on recently. And one of the reasons I was doing the show. So for her to use that very specific insult down a camera and reinforce it again was something that was tough for me. But yeah, again, that day, you don't see the conversation I had with Teddy where I said, mate, exhausted and I might be ready to step back and just be friends if something doesn't drastically change. So I bring up the friends word midday that day. I then bring it up again with Aaron. But the conversation where you see us, well, where you see me get friend zoned, it wasn't actually as imbalanced as it looked, where Priya just friend zoned me. It was a much more, I think that's why I said, oh, this is the easiest breakup ever. I was like, yeah, because it was 50% me too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you were on the same page.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. But yeah.
I even said, like, people who go around and do that, it's a really big Aaron brought this to me hard. He was like, mate, that is a big character indication. Like, I don't have any mates that would go and talk like that about someone behind their back. Like, it's a big character indication of what she's like and her values. He's like, yeah, you're not like that, mate. You're true. It's
that
it's
makes
true.
Sense. I mean, I can understand her going and talk to like one or two of her close friends over there, which has happened. It's not like every single conversation with the girls was with everybody, but
you go in a WhatsApp group and you're like, oh, my husband's pissing me off. Oh, I'm getting exhausted. Like, he's really doing my head in. Obviously, it's not going to be aired to millions of people.
Right. But I mean, still, even if she went off to the side with like, I don't know, with two of the girls and being like, listen, like, I don't know what's wrong. Like, I find him boring based on the conversations. Like, I don't really know what to do. I don't know if like I'm overthinking it. I don't know if I'm just trying to find a problem with this. That would have been different, you know, because it's like you confiding and asking for advice. Because even I've been like, you know, like the guy seems perfect, but I'm just not into him. Like, what's, am I doing something wrong? Or like, am I messing this up? Like, as my friend, what do you see? So that's just getting advice from friends. But like I said, I feel like you were literally the last person that entire villa to find out that you're boring to her.
Yeah, you know, I really, really commend the guys with this. I saw them all yesterday at the weekend, and they were like, they sat me down like, mate, we've been wanting to tell you this the night it happened. And we all sat down and said, you know what, let's give her the benefit of the doubt and hopefully she brings it to you the day after. So when we got up and was like, have you heard? And I'm still like, no, they're like, right, enough's enough, like we're all going to sit you down and tell you now because it's not right. So honestly, the lads, I say to the lads, like, they handled it perfectly, and I would have done the exact same. They gave Priya a couple of opportunities to tell me herself, and she didn't, so they jumped in eventually, which is great. And that's why I've got such a good relationship with all the boys still now.
I think that's fair to both parties. I mean, you want your friends to tell them, but obviously you were all friends, so they had to be fair to everybody in the situation. So I agree, I think the guys really handled it well as well. Maybe not all the situations, maybe some of the things could have been handled differently the way that they did. I was very upset with Liam and the whole Millie situation. She deserved better, but I hope he's making up to her now.
I went in and I was like, I was watching the whole time, like, Millie is such a great person.
I love her. She's the sweetest.
And I was like, she's not even usually the kind of girl I would go for, but because I'd seen so much of her character and her personality, I was like, that's attractive, so I would love to chat to her. But then by the time I got in there, when you see her and Liam together, you just say, oh my god, they're just so great together. Now Liam learned his lesson. It was a really tough moment for them, but they've rode the wave, and they're just awesome. They're great people now.
I love them. Like I said, I think Millie and I should be besties, because I think we would be.
I could see that.
So when we're all in London together, make it happen. Okie dokie. So how did it feel while you were there and having cameras on you nonstop, every breathing moment?
It was, so obviously, you know that with our job, we have to know where all the cameras are. So they're always in the corner of our eyes so that we can be positioned ourselves, right? So then going into a place where there's literally 200 cameras, even at the end of your bed, I'll be having a conversation with you, and just past your ear, there's a camera beaming straight in my eyes. So I'm there like, oh shit, yeah, there's a camera there. There's also one behind my right shoulder. And it's so hard to forget them, especially when our job is to know exactly where they are at all times.
I feel like I'd be staring at the camera the entire time.
There were times I just look straight down a lens, and I feel like David Brent in The Office. And I'm like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to look down the camera. Literally. So it's like, oh, you have to like slowly turn that switch off.
I feel like I'd feel like I'd Michael Scott on The Office and be like, ugh, she's such a dud. Anyways.
And then straight on the camera. So you have to turn that switch off, which took a few days for me, for sure.
Right.
It was well with the microphone. It's like you're mic'd up 24/7. The only times I get that. I'm the same with speaking and press and stuff. But you know, at the end of a long day, especially when there's such stressful situations and they're personal, I just want to go grab Aaron and Teddy and just go, and Tyler, and just go have a chat, like just us three, and just not worry about what I'm saying and be judged on it. So we'd get in the swimming pool, which is the only time you have to take your microphone off, and we'd swim to like the edge of the pool, which is right on the border of the villa. and we'd like kind of try and get a conversation in away from the cameras, just talk really quietly.
That's so funny.
And literally, there's a tannoy in the villa and it's production. And they'd be like, Brett, if you're going to talk in the swimming pool, please, can you go towards your microphone? I'm like, oh, shit. So we'd have to swim to the edge where we dropped our microphones off and talk there. And even in bed, so we take our actual physical microphones off, put them on a bedside table. But in the headboard, there's like a microphone there. And a camera that's like just sat perched over your bed all the time.
Right, because so we could see graduation.
Yeah, yeah. Graduation ceremony.
Yeah, no, yeah. That makes sense. Like it's different having, again, like having to think about what you're representing and how you're representing yourself and all that stuff, but and still being you. So definitely a struggle. Oh man. Do you have any advice for anyone that's interested in being on a reality show?
Ooh, any advice? I mean, what can I give? I actually went and did what you're doing now, like speak to people who've done it in the past. So I bumped into a few previous Islanders. So I spoke to a friend called Dom Lever, who's on, I think, season 2. Dr. Alex, who was on a couple of years ago as well. Great, really great people. And I have some other friends who have done reality TV. So I was getting their advice. I also checked in with, you know, your work commitments. So you're not sure how they're going to take it and how the reception is going to be. So you don't have to tell them you're going on the show, but just like checking off. I wonder what it'd be like if like one of the guys did this. Would you still work with them?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
So you just like gauge what they're going to be like after, but also be aware that you have to be at peace with the people who know you and love you and trust you are going to be okay with whatever they see on television, because they've known you, they have a character reference for you for years that's been built up, and you're never going to damage or change that. Once you're okay with that, won't caring what the public think about you. I get DM literally 50 to 100 DMs today, either saying the word cheese or saying the word boring. You just have to get used to it. You literally just have to get used to that, because they don't know you. And even I'll comment on a friend's post, like from the island, like, oh my god, we had such a fun night, it was great seeing you, love you lots. People will be like, you're so boring, like why are you even talking to any other islanders? Like they don't like you either, you're boring, or you're on for 2 seconds, like why do you care? You just have to be okay with it.
Yeah, but I feel like the same thing goes with, like, I don't know, I've been on like YouTube videos and I've received like positive and negative comments. Like there was like a BuzzFeed video, and it's not like even I have that much time to even show my personality. I feel like not that you have control over it, but you at least had more air time for things to be cut from. Again, not that you had the control over that, but like you had a lot more to work with time-wise. For me, it was like in this clip, it's like about me teaching random people, like whatever, BuzzFeeders, how to fence. And it's like, you have like little few seconds for like clips. And the one guy was, I know it was put on for a show, but he was like, oh, I'll beat you. Like you're a woman, whatever. Like I got this, whatever. Right. Our eyes. I know it was like a thing to like get people to watch, whatever. But like, I hate that stuff. So he was like, oh, like it looks like you're sweating or something. And I was like, no, I don't. Like, I'm not sweating. Like, it looks like you're something. I don't remember. Like, but it was like it came off something of like me clapping back at him. And people are like, oh, she's so cocky for only a bronze medalist. And I'm like, what do you want me to say to somebody that's saying like you're a woman and I'm because of that I'm gonna beat you? Like, you think I'm not gonna say like some kind of like remark to stand up for myself? And that makes me cocky.
The retaliation alone, apparently, makes someone a certain person. It's ridiculous. I think the other advice I would say is, one thing that we got during the show was good psychological help, good welfare help. So now I had a psychologist appointment today just to check in and see how I'm doing. That kind of support is really important too, because doing these shows, it can be really overwhelming and consuming. Reading negativity, like, or if I spent the day reading just negative comments when I came out, and it was really, really bad. And so you need someone to like just to talk to about it. I had people calling me a Nazi, serial killer, murderer. Like people sending me voice notes, like long voice notes on Instagram, multiple people saying that I've murdered multiple people and they know me and all this stuff. So coming out reading that, then coming out and being slandered for political views that weren't even true, I'm like, oh my God. So eventually you do get some control. So once I was able to get my phone back and do some Instagram stories, go live, people could see my personality more, you then can change that narrative. I'm now getting much more apologies. Like, I'm so sorry for saying this, it was wrong, blah, blah, which on the internet, I would never expect to see someone apologizing. It was like, yeah. So eventually, you know, people will come and will have better character references for you, regardless of what they see on the show.
Right. Well, that's cool. That's good to know. Well, first of all those comments are terrible. I can't believe people are doing that.
And it was my brother on my account. So even the stuff about my appearance, I obviously, for those who don't know, I have an identical twin brother. So he was on my account at the time reading comments about my physical appearance, which are obviously his physical appearance.
Right.
Too. So it was tough. Like knowing that he's had to sit through and wade through thousands of messages that were all negative.
Damn, that's a good brother. Props to him. Haven't met him, but props to him.
He was also super funny on my Instagram. So it can help. I was like, just whatever comes out, if there's memes, just jump on them immediately. Just be first to the joke and be in on the joke. So it kind of gives the trolls less to like grab onto.
Right, right. If you can make fun of yourself, whatever. I remember now. So I have a friend who he was on Bachelorette. He was on there for like 5 seconds, but then he was in Paradise. I'm probably going to have him on, so maybe I won't go into too much detail. Anyways, the producers kind of forced him to do something really, really messed up. And he did, and he got attacked for it. And like, even me, like when I met him, I kind of brought it up and I was like, oh, this was really messed up. Like, what is this? And he explained it to me. I can tell you later. So I don't ruin the little tidbit when I do it with him. But he was then on Love Island Poland. And we talked about the differences between like reality TV in America. I mean, I don't have my personal experience, and reality TV elsewhere. And he said that reality TV in Poland was like, he was like, I literally walked out of there like a better person. He's like, because apparently in American reality TV, you don't have a psych that like talks to you throughout or whatever, checks in with you or like afterwards. And in Poland they do. And like, he worked on stuff. So Eastern European, like, it was funny that you brought up robotic. Like, the men are considered like, that's the way you're supposed to be raised. Like, God forbid you show emotions. You cannot be emotional. Like, you are a rock. You're a robot. We don't want to see anything from you. And that's kind of how he was. And they, the psychologist like called him out on that. And he's like, yeah, he's like, I mean, I've never really noticed that. And like, I finally was able to like start working on that, which was really cool. And he's like, yeah, I mean, he's like, I would do reality TV in Poland. He's like, or, you know, somewhere else that does it like that in a heartbeat. And he's like, American reality TV, I will never touch that again. So
There are comments that I've had before about being cold and robotic and emotionless. I also, one of the other reasons I did the show was to offer like a different to the archetypal kind of guys that go and do the show, like the usual, you know, the forms of masculinity and like all of that stuff. I'm quite, there's a spectrum, and I don't sit where the usual archetypal guy would be. I knew it'd get some backlash, but I ultimately knew that it was part of the conversation I wanted to be part of. So when I was doing the show, that obviously the comments about the way I dress or my image were always going to happen. But I was able to go and see someone in the welfare team every single day. If I wanted to go and have a call with a psychiatrist, I could literally hold my microphone and say, please, can I go and talk to someone? And just like that, you know, like the diary room kind of situation, the beach hut, we can go to one of them and there's someone sat on a Zoom call waiting for us to talk to us. So they're super helpful. But yeah, I think the show had to learn that lesson. For the UK Love Island show, that was a lesson I had to learn a couple of years ago with some bad situations with contestants.
Right.
And so now it's like, that's the support is offered to everyone who goes to the show, whether you're there a day or 8 weeks. You get that support, and you get that support beyond your time in the villa too, which is really helpful.
Yeah, I think that's definitely important. I mean, even just being a social media a presence, I mean, I get hate on a regular basis of like, kill yourself or whatever, or like comments about like my appearance and to tear me down. Even when I put up my video of like the difference in medal earnings, I got so much hate. There was a guy that like came at me and was like ripping me apart in comments, and I like kept responding. Like, I've kind of learned, whether it's good or bad, that I mean, it really, like, there's nothing you can tell me. Like, I mean, from friends, like, I would take more personally what you said to me than like any stranger, because you at least, okay, it's not like you know me very well. It's not like we hang out on a regular basis, but like, you have a general idea of who I am. So your opinion matters more to me versus some random dude that's miserable about his day. And like, it doesn't mean anything to me at this point. Like, I'm really not fazed. Like, I laugh because I'm like, okay, this, like, you're clearly miserable. Whether you're jealous of me for whatever reason, or you're just having a shitty day. And I like, kept responding to him. And then an hour later, he messaged me back apologizing. And he's like, I've had the shittiest week. Like, I'm so sorry. I don't know why, like, you just got all of this. He's like, I'm just upset. Like, you absolutely, like, and he still like follows me and supports me to this day. Like, sends me really nice messages. Like, we had this whole long conversation, and I was really shocked, because I feel like no one ever does things like that anymore. Like,
no one goes back on what they say.
No, like, even like my friends are incapable of saying I'm sorry sometimes. So like, having a random stranger, like, you know, go back to message me to apologize. He's like, I'll delete all the comments. Like, 9 times out of 10, like, if you clap back well enough, people just remove their comments. But like, yeah, so that was really interesting to see, because that's a rarity. But anyways, my point was with it, I think it takes a certain level of person, or like maturity, or maybe emotional understanding to understand like where these comments are coming from. Like, if you see me, I'm not writing any of those comments anywhere on anybody. Like there's, whether I'm watching them on reality TV or somebody makes a TikTok about them, I'm not writing hate comments because it's not necessary. I don't know the full story. I'm not there. I'm always there hyping people up. So exactly, I think it's a certain level of person that is willing to go out of their way to write hateful stuff. I don't know. Like if anybody's listening that does this, like really think about what you're doing. Like you're the one honestly humiliating yourself, not anybody else.
What they're ultimately trying to do is project the things that they're unhappy about onto someone else and hope if it brings them down, it makes you feel better, which never happens.
Right.
But equally, when you're at the end of them, you think it's frustrating or it's annoying you and you feel like replying. All you're doing is holding on to that conversation for longer and longer and longer. So it will affect your day rather than just affect 2 seconds that you read it.
Yeah.
The other things that I learned was like not to place any validation in your appearance or your identity or anything like that in anyone else. Just have it reside within you and you'll be fine no matter what you read. Whether it's good and it wants to inflate your ego or whether it's bad and it wants to bring you down, as long as you stay true within your own self, then you'll be okay either end. It's challenging when there's a lot. It takes a while to get there. It's all part of a process and a journey. Yeah,
exactly. So I think it's really helpful that they do provide, you know, somebody that can help you through that, because obviously they can deal with that and they can give you advice to get to the place where you doesn't really matter. So I'm really glad that you have that. Very happy.
Yeah.
So what else did I want to cover? Oh, my last question. Okay. So we're not going to ask for further details because we probably we shouldn't. But do you think that all the couples that left the show together will stay together based on what you saw? You don't need to provide names. You don't need to give examples, but what do you think?
I think Millie and Liam are as strong as you'll ever meet anyone to be. Okay. So
I love that. I love them.
Yeah, they have, despite their distance in their relationship with where they come from originally, they've been speaking about outside. And when I spoke to them in the villa, they were like, they don't really care if they win or not. They felt like they won anyway. So the night that I went home.
That's so cute.
Honestly, the night that I went home, we were all sat on the swing. And so there's Millie. So there's Liam talking about Millie and Liam. Teddy talking about Teddy and Faye, Aaron and Tyler. And we're basically all just saying, look, whoever goes home tonight, we're all going to see each other in a week. But ultimately, none of us were there for 50 grand. We're all there to find a person. And they'd all felt like they'd found that anyway. So they'd won. Regardless if they went home tonight, tomorrow, or they won, the outcome for them was the same.
So cute.
So going out, obviously, I know now what they're all like. And yeah, I would advocate all of them to have really solid relationships. I saw them all at the weekend too. I think a lot of people ask me questions about Teddy and Faye. I was really, really close with Teddy in the villa. And what I can say about their relationship is they just have this amazing ability to overcome things. Whether it's like, you know, Faye's slightly argumentative side, she won't mind me saying, or you know, whether they don't engage socially with each other, they'd never have met on the outside and all of these things, it doesn't actually really matter because they have this ability to overcome challenges. And they know that within themselves that their love for one another is what will override all the things that they can encounter. So again, they're about as solid as you'll see. And then Tyler and Kaz, who are like the two best people.
Love Tyler and Kaz. I would have never placed them together. I've been trying to figure out like why I wouldn't place them together, but I love them together. Like, I don't know, like no, my I think like like in a club, like if I saw them, I would be like, I would never be like, oh, these two would be a great couple. You know what I mean? But seeing them together, they're a great couple.
They're great. Honestly, I think they both had a little bit of a journey in the villa too, like a couple other partners and eventually came back to each other. And then, just being around them is just awesome. They make each other laugh. They banter each other all the time. And they're super, super cute together. We went on a night out at the weekend and just seeing how like they look out for each other and they look after each other on a night out. And like laugh at each other is great. They're two really, really great people. And together they make like this perfectly balanced one body.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're cool. They're really good people.
Okay, but you didn't mention one couple. What are your thoughts on this one last couple? Should I understand your silence?
Which couple do you want me to talk on?
Chloe.
Chloe and Toby. Sorry, yeah, completely forgot. they are, you know, when you meet people who are, they still have that like, innocent naivety about them, which is endearing.
Yeah.
And they're just like fun. They're like the definition of fun. When you're around them, they're like never not laughing with each other, at each other, whatever.
Yeah, they're always making jokes.
Yeah, constantly. And then seeing them meet each other's families and all this stuff, Yeah, they're cool. They're like super, super compatible. If they like bumped into each other in the street, you feel like they'd just be in a relationship one way or another, because they're just so like funny together and great together.
I love that.
Yeah, they're cool. They're great.
And that's
what we're going to get into talk about Jake and Liv or Aaron and Mary, but.
No, Aaron and Mary, they were early on and they left early.
No. They.
Oh, no, I know. Yeah. I forgot about
that. The older Aaron. Yeah, that was the older Aaron.
So, okay. So I guess I understand what that means.
Yeah.
You know, got it.
I got on really, really well with Aaron. Aaron was the person I was probably closest with because he was the last in just before me.
Right.
And he also left just after me. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone who's not caught up. So he was basically the only person I could call. When I came out, I didn't know any other contestants. The only people I knew were basically the finalists. So Aaron's the only person I could call, talk to and confide in and all of that stuff. So yeah, I love Aaron. He's such a good guy. Mary I got on really well with, but their dynamic has been really challenging since they left. So yeah.
Makes sense. I was really sad about the whole Jake and Liberty thing. We don't have to talk too much about it, but
both lovely people. Honestly, they're the loveliest, most honest and genuine people. I know Jake left not long after we did, and I saw him a couple of days after, and seeing how the public responded to him from what was aired and what it was actually like living with him for over a week was completely in stark contrast.
Yeah.
He's genuine. He just has his own problems with expression and communication and stuff like that, which he knows. It was just super unfortunate. But I think it was nice to see how they were each mature enough to say it's healthiest that they both stepped away from what they were going through just at that time. So yeah.
I didn't really see them going the distance, even though I really was rooting for them. I just think Jake didn't really, I mean, again, it's reality TV. I understand that. Yeah. So it's not like I'm taking this all 100%, but it's what I have to go based off of. Let me repeat again. But he just said some dumb things that I think that just really didn't need to be said. Or the way that he said them, like, I get, like, you can find other people attractive that aren't your significant other and doesn't mean anything. Cause you're just, like,
people. Yeah, but the way you say that to your partner has to be very sensitive and delicate.
Right,
yeah.
Right. It's like, okay, I can have a crush on Ryan Gosling for the rest of my life, but doesn't mean that I'm just, because he walks down the street, I'm going to be with him. I mean, I'll think about it for a little bit longer than an average person, but can you blame me? Yeah, but, and especially when I saw like their movie night episode.
Oh, God.
That's when I was
was really, really pivotal for them. It was kind of like the catalyst in what was to follow, unfortunately. But I saw Liv's birthday, it was just the weekend. She's so happy. Her mom is lovely. Her grandmother's lovely. You can tell she comes from such a nice family too. That's probably why she's such a great person herself. But yeah, two really nice, honest people. Hopefully they can both find their happiness, whether it's together eventually or what. Yeah, they're both great people.
Yeah, I hope Jake can find his little foot queen. I love that for him. All right. Well, honestly, I think that's all the questions I have. I couldn't ask every single question that everybody else had in my DMs because there was just too many of them, but I feel like I got the general ones of them. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like said since you control the narrative now?
Oh, I control the narrative. Look at all this power. Like Thanos. For people watching these shows, think about, like, there's lots of commentators on these shows because they're so popular online. And just know that when you're commentating, like you have today, for example, just know that you're commenting on something that's kind of a constructed reality, not like a true, it's not like you're just sat at home watching 24 hours a day. You watch 5 minutes of a day for each person.
Yeah.
So just be mindful of what you're actually consuming and how you respond to that. But yeah, Priya and I, we get on well, despite everyone coming up to me in the street like, oh my God, she's such a bad person, you could do so much better. I'm like, yeah, we had to live together for a whole week after the show.
Right. You didn't kill each other then, so it can't be
too
bad.
Exactly. And we're filming a show at the end of this week together too, where we sit down and have dinner with each other and we get to go through all of the things that we've been speaking about today. So that'll be interesting. I'll let everyone know when that airs so you can catch up again.
Yeah, I'll post it so that everybody can know the tea. Hopefully we find out that little thing that you couldn't tell me about now.
A lot of tea.
I cannot wait for it. Well, thank you so much. I won't keep you from all your other interviews and all that stuff, but it was lovely seeing you. And well, I guess we'll have to be Zooming until we can find each other in the world again.
Thanks so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.